Carbonly Conversation.
Quick question. Is this the podcast? Are we doing the podcast right now? Let's just get right into it.
I did some checking, and you're about 1,300 miles from Brooklyn to, is that like Fort Lauderdale? Am I remembering correctly?
Mm-hmm.
So if one of you guys get a calculator out, it's approximately 0.77 pounds of carbon dioxide per mile driven.
Wait, how many miles?
1,300. We'll just round this off because you may make a pit stop. That's or have to drive around Brooklyn.
1,001
pounds of carbon. So that's how much you drive in a car.
Oh, geez.
Presuming it'll average about 20 miles, 22 miles a gallon. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you fly, it is 121 kilograms. Oh, we got to convert this stuff. Of CO2 per hour. So
kilograms to pounds?
Yeah, kilograms is how many pounds? I love Google.
And that's what, like a 3-hour
flight? 267 pounds. Yeah, find out the hours. So
So I should fly.
Well, if it's a 3-hour flight, plus you're flying, and then if you ship your stuff, that thing if you ship a UPS, that's all flying. Let's just say that miraculously gets on the same plane, right? So it's two flights. And what's the flight time, Shane?
I would say I don't know. 3 hours. New York to Miami is about three or so hours. So Fort Lauderdale would be a little 3 hours.
I'm right by Miami, so
okay.
So 267 times three.
801.
Okay,
that's still lower.
But that's just you and maybe Bruno.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In a plane and three suitcases. That's true.
Yeah.
Right, and then maybe UPS would ground ship. And then if they did, like, here's the advantages of UPSing, right? If they ground ship this, your boxes, suitcases would be in a truck with a bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the carbon per box or per square foot is really, really, really tiny. So let's just pretend that's the case. So it's kind of the equivalent, but you got to get Bruno there.
That's true.
Because also if you're flying, you got to bring your shit to UPS, you know, and you got to go pick it up, or someone's got to get it from the warehouse and drop it off at where you're going to be living. And you got to go to the airport, you know, check in, use up stuff there. And then you got to go when you land in Fort Lauderdale, someone have to come and pick you up. You'd have to get an Uber and go to where you're staying.
Yep.
But if I'm driving, I most likely wouldn't do it in one day. I'd probably break it up into two trips, stay at a hotel.
So you'd have the little bit of like a carbon expense of the hotel, right? Mm-hmm. But it's per hour. So like the 13 hours. So if you're not driving, you're not expending carbon from the car trip. But you are expending carbon for the hotel and the shower and the restaurant food or whatever you're eating, right?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like the back of the envelope calculation for your travel, like should you fly your stuff or UPS ground ship from Brooklyn to Florida, it's about the same. Because what do we say, about 1,000 pounds of carbon if you drove 13 hours? Let's round it up to 1,200. That's like 800 and something if you fly, plus the other carbon for your stuff and the pickups and the drop off. That's pretty interesting, though, I think, anyway. Yeah. So then it comes to cost and convenience, right? Because if the carbon
exposure, it makes sense because it is the same, like, no matter the route, it's most likely the same distance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy that it's so, like, close.
It's pretty similar, yeah. It's a long trip. And technically, Bruno's got a carbon footprint, probably a much less than all of us humans, but you could divide it by two. So Bruno's got to, like, pay for some of that carbon.
What would Bruno's carbon footprint be?
I mean, he's got to get there, too.
He's taking up space in the plane.
Yeah, but he's 30 pounds.
My point really is gonna... it won't be additional, but you could feel better that you only have half of that responsibility. But because you love Bruno, you're covering his other half.
That's true.
That's
love it.
That's interesting because wow. I always thought that driving for traveling would be less on your carbon footprint.
I mean, it mm-hmm. is if I you're just so going a couple hundred miles. And okay. if you have four people in the car, then you're dividing yeah. that footprint per person. So when you think, again, if you're looking at it by the person, but if you yeah, just look at makes, it by okay. the trip,
okay,
you know, like, and I think in the carbonly sense, like, it's a lifestyle. So, like, is it about the trip? Is it about the experience? Is it about me? You know, and I think that can vary. And that's what makes, I mean, we were talking about this in the last episode, like, it makes it really hard to calculate and know. And that's why I think companies maybe don't quite get so granular, because what they'll communicate to their customers or to their potential audience may not be the way they're thinking about it or even understanding it. So I think that was fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to check in with you, Stephen, as you get closer to destination date.
Okay, what about this? Doing. What about this? Is there, I don't know if I would want to leave Bruno with someone, but is there someone that takes your dog for you?
What do you mean?
Never mind. That would be adding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like if you're like leave. Someone would travel with, or I guess this sounds really ridiculous, but ship your dog. But I think there is like pet travel agencies. I know there's one in the street I used to live on in East Austin. It was like its own, like they had a business to plan the itineraries to help relocate pets based off of their owner's work schedule.
Wow. Remember, I don't know if you guys remember, but way back when I was talking about I needed shower gel.
Oh yeah, you had five showers left. That was the joke, right?
Five showers, yeah.
That was pretty cryptic.
I got, let me just go get it. Hold up. Look at that.
Is that Shea Moisture?
We will
prevail. Oh.
Yes. So Shea Moisture, African black soap, soothing body wash with oats, aloe, and vitamin E. And made with fair trade shea butter. So like the African people that harvest this from the tree, they get paid like a fair wage. Okay. No sulfates, no parabens, no phthalates. We're gonna just skip that. No mineral oil, no animal testing, no petroleum. Recycled plastic. And yeah, so yeah, I said I needed one for like black skin that you know was recyclable and all natural, and I somehow found it, and it's actually been really nice. It doesn't look appealing because it's black, but it's look at the skin. I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, I used to use like black soap on my face and it does. Like,
so the soap was black?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bar. Like, you could buy it. And if you go to any African vendors or like.
But Harlem, or was it called it. Black soap?
It's called black soap and it's the soap is black.
And it's black, yeah.
On purpose, like the ingredients made it black, or it's a marketing thing to help increase sales to African American men?
No, it's always, it's just naturally black. It's not like an artificial.
Okay, okay. Yep. I mean, educate the white guy that's never had to buy black soap.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even think a lot of black people know about this as well. It's it's like a...
They will like now. We've that, been... that and plumbers, they're all going to know. That.
All the African American
plumbers. Some white moms.
Some white moms. White moms and African American plumbers. That's our over our Venn diagram of listeners.
Yep.
Sorry, Steven, I'm cutting you off.
No, I'm okay with that. Shout out to the white moms and the plumbers. But yeah, so they do a really good job of like giving back to their community, because it is like, I think like tribes in Africa have been using this soap for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well,
yeah,
just wanted to share that. I have been showering in case anyone, you know,
He hasn't ran out of showers. That's my, what I'm taking from this update is Steven can continue has increased his amount of showers. I love it. Well,
I got about 23 showers left.
About 23 showers before he's got to refill in this,
in this bottle. I'm just guessing.
Cause I've never flown with a pet. I was always of the assumption they get thrown in a cage and like fly.
Some do
where the luggage is, which is like some crazy.
Especially like if you have a 200-pound. Yeah. But if it's a, and I think a lot of airlines cracked down on this during the pandemic. But like if you had a emotional support or service animal need, but there was people bringing like ponies and snakes and And that may be a little bit of an urban myth, but like I read enough art because like when you see that, you're like, what? Someone brought an emotional support pony on the plane. I kind of want to see that, but yet I do not want to be on that plane.
Yeah.
I was on a plane and someone had an emotional support squirrel.
What?
And then a friend of mine was on a plane and was on there with an emotional support peacock.
Wow.
How big was this peacock? Because they're big and aggressive.
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't the one that was on the flight.
I know, but I'm rhetorical.
I definitely saw the squirrel.
That's crazy.
The squirrel had like a little leash and everything. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'd be like, the squirrel's going to get loose, chew on wires, and we're all going to crash. Like, squirrels are squirrels cause more damage than any – I mean – the second or third reason for blackouts and like electric power grids are squirrels.
Really?
Yeah.
They've been trying to sabotage.
I was at a commission meeting last night for my neighborhood, and the a representative for the electric company was there, and he said 14% of power outages in my neighborhood are due to squirrels.
What?
Because they build nests inside the.
They don't care. They don't. They can't read the instructions or the warning labels.
Yep.
Gosh.
Yep.
and they're terrors. They can dig in. They can chew through rats with fuzzy tails. I'm fascinated with squirrels for so many reasons, but I just read a piece about how squirrels, like squirrels and rats, are literally the same thing, except the rats have this bony tail and are associated with dark and evil and whatever. Squirrels are bushy and have this fluffy tail, and we kind of like adore them, and we associate them like they're in children's books. They help us tie our shoes or learn how to like share well. Right? Like, there's no outside of Ratatouille. Find me an adorable rat.
Yeah.
Well, I forget what it's called. I think it's like I can't remember the full name, but it's like an animal hierarchy.
Okay.
And it's just like, there's a hierarchy of animals that people care about, and then there's animals that are on this list or are low on the list. Like if there's ever been a Disney movie made about the animal, then it's popular. Got it. So like people care about lions, people care about bears, people care about squirrels, people don't care about rats, people don't care about fish, insects, snakes, things like that. Like, if it's like associated with evil or anything.
Oh my God. I love that. Yeah,
the fact about the squirrels.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. And I know I have read so many articles. I'm going to go find some of them and link this shit in this post. Before we dig in.
Yeah. If we're at a party and someone's like, oh, my God, who brought the wings? And I'm like, oh, you know, you have to act all fake humble. You have to be like, oh, guilty. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, what's your secret? I'm like, well, I make my own lemon pepper. And then you're that guy. You're that guy. Yeah. Everyone's talking about you.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I brought wings too. Oh, did you make your own lemon pepper? I used Sweet Baby Ray's, which is good, but not the same. Yeah. I think you guys may have met her, Danielle. She would do these, maybe one of you guys went with. She'd do these like salons where she would invite
a speaker. I remember those.
I never went with one. I went to one with you, yeah.
Okay, so as you
shared. Salon.
And I brought a big thing of like bean hummus. I made my own hummus and this other dip. And people were losing their mind. Like, you made your own hummus? Like, how do you make this hummus? Yeah. It's just hummus. But yeah.
I don't think people make stuff anymore, you know?
Not as many. Well, gentlemen, I feel like this was a really good Carbon Lake quick hit. I imagine our listeners, if you're tuning in to us going deep on some of the things that we said we would follow up on and listening to this 15 or so minute episode, you know where to find us, you know where to follow us, and you know how to go and have yourself a Carbon Lake week. Bye.